Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
Earlier this week, I caught up with Kilkenny's Peter Lynch, who recently broke the Irish marathon record once again at the London Marathon last weekend with a time of 2:06:08. We had a look back at what the last year was like for Peter and what he's hoping to achieve in the years to come.
Peter Lynch, what a year you've had since we last spoke. The last time we actually met up, I think, was in the middle of town in Kilkenny in a cafe around April time, where you had just broken the Irish marathon record in Dusseldorf. Now, a year later, you've shaved 3+ minutes off that record. It was gone from you for a little bit, but we'll get onto that, I suppose. But, like, what a year you've had. Is it what you expected, or where you expected to be 12 months later?
It has been a really good year. But I think, yeah, probably not it's where I expect. I hoped, obviously, to get faster, but I think I've definitely surpassed my expectations. I am really happy with how I've kind of done the last year.
It's one of those things you were talking about, obviously LA being at the back of your mind, kind of that's the forefront, the aim in 2028, and you're saying that, you know, the last qualification for Paris was you had to be under 2:08, and you're kind of like, I need to get faster, I need to get there, and now you're just 2:06 shy of getting underneath that as well. Like, you know, what a position to be in. Like, I asked the question, but like, did you expect to be this close to there now? Or are you expecting that was maybe going to be a bit further down the line, maybe an extra year or so?
I'd say if you asked me 12 months ago, like, what would I be happy with running this year? I probably would have said, like, 2:07, 2:08. I've got lofty goals, but probably didn't think I'd be running 2:06 now. But, it's definitely, I suppose, like, I ran the half marathon six weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I ran 59 minutes there, which was like, that was a big kind of realization, was like, okay, I've like taken this to like a definitely like another level.
Yeah.
It's always nice to like keep getting faster. So
I suppose to put that into perspective for listeners who maybe aren't in tune as much with running, and even something that I didn't know until you'd broken it, you're the first Irishman to get sub 60 in a half marathon.
Yeah. Like, that's definitely a time that, like, any time, even up until recently, like, sub-60s, like, you'd be pretty world-class to break that. So I think that one was, like, that was, like, wow. Because it's such a barrier, like, an hour, do you know what I mean? So to just get under that in the half was, pretty crazy. I think it was only afterwards I kind of looked up, like, say, like, where I am, say, like, European all-time and stuff. I think I'm, like, 18th ever, like, European the half. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, oh, wow, like, that's actually, I'm definitely doing better than I thought I ever would. Like, I definitely didn't think I'd ever be getting that good. But, it's been fun. Like, I haven't felt like anything's been, it's just kind of been natural. Like, it's not like I've been like, oh, like, I decided to do, like, X, Y, and Z in the last, like, couple months or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of happened fairly naturally.
Speak to me a little bit, after Dusseldorf last year, you go back to America, you do a couple of, I suppose, short enough races with both Barry and Fergal, kind of keeping yourself kind of fit and kind of working your way back to be where you fully are. It's one of those things I never understood. Maybe you'll explain it a little bit better, but I always imagined that if you're a marathon runner, you want to be running as many marathons as possible. But a lot of people, and I suppose I'm learning it a little bit more as I speak to more athletes, particularly in athletics, that a lot of it is about focusing on particular core aspects of races. Even as short as you're doing, like, I know, a relay, you might have a really good 200 meters, and then after that you need to focus on those last 200. For you, was it a case of trying to really hone in on getting a really good 10 mile 10k sort of?
I think in the, maybe like a while ago, like, I don't know, 10 plus years ago, it very much was like, oh, you go to the marathon, like, you're just a marathon runner. Like, that's kind of all you do. And, like, you're kind of, like, once you go to the marathon, you can kiss goodbye to ever running anything fast, like, the shorter distances. But I think my coach Alistair's kind of philosophy is, like, we train kind of, like, all the paces, right? So, like, we do a lot of, like, pretty, like, fast stuff to kind of make your race pace effort feel easier. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to be selective with the marathons you do, because they're pretty taxing on the body. So pretty much only really like 2 a year. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like in the lead up to the marathons, you do some like shorter races to kind of like one, just kind of like break up training. Like training can get pretty monotonous when you're just like, it's just worked out after worked out and no like... Like, I mean, races are fun. That's kind of why we run, is to do races. So, yeah, in the lead up to kind of each marathon, we'll kind of select some races that, like, between kind of like 10K, 10 mile, half marathon, they'll kind of be like good training and then just kind of good some good data points that training's working well and hopefully get some like confidence out of it as well.
Obviously, you mentioned Alistair there. You're obviously out in North Carolina with the Puma Elite running team. You know, for you, I know you've spoken about it before with me about how being surrounded by those really impressive and brilliant athletes that have competed at Olympics and World Championships and everything kind of helps to push you forward. Do you think, I suppose, the last year has been evidence of that even more?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think, I have like such a good training group that I train with, like day in and day out. And like, say, for example, like the half marathon in New York, like I ran 59:52, which like, you know, like fastest Irishman and stuff. And I had Alex
just casually broke
I had Alex Alex in our group, an American guy. He bet me by a second. Then Paddy, an English guy in our group, I bet him by like 3 or 4 seconds. And then Jack, another English guy, was like 15 seconds behind. So we have the four of us that are just like basically separated by nothing, doing all our workouts together. And then that also translate over to the marathon as well. Like in London, Jack and Paddy also did it, and I was with Paddy till like a kilometer to go in the race. He also ran 2:06, and then yeah, my other teammate Jack ran 2:07. So just having those days every day, it's like that's definitely been a huge part of how I've improved the last while.
How much, I suppose, does that, like, obviously there's a friendly rivalry there, but does it make you want it even more when you see them on the course with you and you're kind of like, oh, I'm going to pass them out now, and it makes it that bit sweeter than just passing out someone else?
Like a little bit. I think that part of why our group has been really successful is that we definitely don't really have egos amongst each other. Like, you know, we've all kind of beaten each other in races, but when it comes to sessions and stuff, especially, there's no ego, so there's no one, you know, kind of like the last rep warrior trying to like drop each other or stuff like that. We all work really well together. And then in the races, I suppose, yeah, it's kind of every man for themselves to some respect, like but it's nice to, like, in the marathon, yeah, I ran most of it with Jack and Paddy in London, so it kind of gives you like good confidence. We kind of like talk to each other once or twice during the race, and we shared some bottles of water and stuff, and just kind of, yeah, good to have your teammates around you.
I'm conscious that everyone listening is going to want to hear about the marathon, but I do want to step a little bit back before then. Look at, obviously, the World Championships last year. Finished 24th, really good position for you, and like, it's your first time competing at the World Championships. Like, talk me through that experience, I suppose, firstly, because you're going out to Tokyo, it's like something you've never experienced before. You've obviously run marathons before, but something like this feels that big grander, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think doing the World Championships in Tokyo was a good, like, I got a lot of like experience from it. Like, that was only my third marathon, and at that point I'd had kind of like one bad one and one good one, so it was important to like get another good one in. Do you know, like, you kind of, yeah, I felt like there was kind of a lot of pressure on that one, because it was like, say if that one goes badly, it's like I've got a 33% success rate. If it goes well, it's 66. Like, that sounds like a big difference. So yeah, Tokyo was really good too, with the conditions and everything. Like, it was really hot, so we knew it was going to be like a slower race. So I kind of paced myself pretty evenly to try and just kind of like run my own race and run kind of like the best time I could on the day, and then beat as many people. So that was really good. I think I got a lot of experience, like, yeah, just in another big marathon, and was able to kind of, when I got back training after Tokyo, I think a lot of the training I'd done for that kind of like stood to me. And I think normally when you come back from a break, you feel like pretty unfit, but after Tokyo, I actually kind of was like, after a week or two of doing sessions, I was like, oh, I'm actually like surprised myself here how good I'm feeling. So I think that was kind of nice to carry that forward into the build for London.
When you speak on sort of obviously trying to pace yourself in Tokyo and produce a positive result out of that, how difficult is it, I suppose, to temper the expectations that the last marathon you ran, you broke an Irish marathon record, and you kind of want to keep pushing forward? I feel like maybe I don't know if it's from an elite athlete perspective, are you kind of like looking at anything that isn't breaking a record the next time around,
yeah,
or something less?
I think that Alistair, my coach, is really good about that. Like, he purposely, that's why he wanted me to do Worlds, was to kind of like take away that expectation. Like, he doesn't want us going out every marathon and needing it to be like a home run and like run faster and faster. So like, for example, like obviously, like it was great to run fast in London, but maybe my next marathon, like potentially I might do like New York Marathon, which is like hilly, like there's no pacers, like the, you know, it was one last year in like 207 208 kind of time a lot of the time, so that'll be a good one to like not be, all right, gotta go run 205 this time. It's like, all right, get into this race and race people and just kind of, again, just like get more experience in the marathon.
Does it, suppose, an element of it as well, like you substitute the really exhilarating feeling of breaking a marathon record with the experience of Tokyo and the first World Championships? Does that kind of balance each other out in your own mind then for kind of keeping it consistent with what you're aiming for?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a lot of, with the marathon, just trying to like gain experience and gain confidence and stuff. And I think it's just such a different event that you need to, there's very few people who just like do their first one and just like knock it out of the park and like never have a bad marathon. Like, I think you just need to really like get experience, and I think I'm definitely like starting to do that and want to like keep doing that.
We have to speak on Fergal Curtin, obviously broke your record in October last year in South Korea. When you saw that, were you kind of like, I was going to try and do that later, or like, yeah, you're obviously delighted for him because he's a friend of yours, but at the same time, in that competitive sense, are you like, that's great, but you won't have for long?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I knew when I ran the record last year that it wouldn't hang around for too long, just because there is a lot of good Irish lads around at like 209, 210, 211 that are hopefully just going to get faster. I knew it wouldn't last for too long. I definitely was a bit surprised when he ran 207 50 something. It was like a big jump forward,
yeah,
and it was also kind of like a fairly unknown race in South Korea, and he won. Like, he ran really, really well, but like a lot of good guys. So yeah, it was definitely like definitely like motivation that, like, you know, like I'm not going to be happy to go out and run 208 the next day, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a bit of a like friendly kind of rivalry there, I suppose.
Moving on then, you go into 2026, focus on again that sub 60 half marathon. You know, for you, was it really important to have a really good half marathon race just coming up to this London marathon, like to kind of really boost your, I suppose, boost your confidence going into that?
Yeah, I think definitely. Like, it definitely helped. I don't think it was like, you know, if I'd ran the half marathon and it didn't go too well, I probably would have told myself I didn't need it to go well. Do you know what I mean? But the fact it did go well, yeah, definitely like took a lot of confidence from that. And like it doesn't always translate to the marathon, like, just it's double the distance, they're still two very different events, but just to kind of show that like the training we've been doing the last like 2-3 months has put us in a really good spot. So if we just kind of pretty much just keep that going for the last like 6 weeks, that should be able to run something good in London.
I think when people think of marathons, they probably think mostly of the London Marathon, especially in Ireland, probably London, Dublin and Boston are the three ones that I would always imagine people think of, at least I do anyways, and I'm kind of maybe projecting that onto the Irish populace. But
yeah,
you go over to London, it's such an amazing event and spectacle. Obviously you have Mo Farah and Ellie Kildon opening up that whole thing, and it, like, if England know how to do one thing, well, it's to put on a show. Like,
yeah, and yeah, and they love like sports, live sports and stuff in general, and it was amazing. Like, I was like, I've done a couple of marathons now in like big cities and stuff, but like nothing compared to like, it was just crazy from the get go. Just like, just fans like for 26 miles both sides of the road. Like, there were loads of stretches where like literally like my ears were just like hurting because it was like so loud. So yeah, it definitely, that'd have been one that like even a year ago, is like next spring I'd love to do London. Like, just one, from just the kind of spectacle it is and how prestigious it is and stuff, but then two, just like doing a race like so close to home, I knew that there'd be my family be able to come watch, and like there'd be a decent amount of Irish people there and stuff. So yeah, definitely I'd say surpassed expectations, just like the whole experience.
Do you think the spectacle and the noise of London, do you think the experience of Tokyo prepared you better for that, or is it just completely a different beast when you go over?
Yeah, it was a different beast. Like, Tokyo was, the crowds were good, but I think just the Japanese culture is just a bit different. They're kind of very, like, they'll just kind of, like, clap along and be kind of polite about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was class atmosphere. It was really good. But, like, London was just, like, just people screaming, like, nonstop. It was class. It was, yeah.
It's, when I was listening to you on Off the Ball, you were speaking about how your ears kind of hone in on, like, specific things. Like, maybe you might just pick up some random conversation or something crazy being shouted. Like, do you notice any, I suppose, when you're running alongside other athletes, anything that they're saying, or?
Not so much, but you hear that the other athletes are getting cheered on and stuff. Like, because I was in the group that had kind of the top, like, British contenders. One of them's like Phil Sessman, who was pretty big kind of presence. And then our race was paced by Alex Yee, who's the Olympic triathlon champion.
So, 24, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a lot of, like, go Alex, go Phil, like, the whole way around. So, yeah, you hear a lot of support from that for them. But, it is, there's just so much going on. It's hard to, like, there's just random things you end up, like, picking up on.
How do you manage that? Because I know you had a plan going into it, which was to pace with the crowd that were going at 2:30 for the majority of it, and then you were going to try and break away kind of that last 35 kilometers. You know, for you, I suppose, how do you, I suppose, balance your nerves starting out a race like that?
Yeah, like, so yeah, the pace was, yeah, 2:06:30 pace. So the plan was to just kind of go with that till, like, 20 miles, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I suppose I wasn't, like, I was a little bit nervous, but it's, I was based off New York, it's like, okay, I can sit going through in 63:15 or in around there, like, it's gonna not feel easy, but it's definitely something I should be able to do, like, fairly comfortably. So the nerves are actually not too bad before, to be honest. Like, I was pretty relaxed before. I think that's the thing with the marathon, it's like there's not much to get nervous about, because it's either, like, with track races and short races, you have to think about, like, tactics and stuff like that. But, like, for me, the only tactics for London was literally just, like, go with this group. Like, there's nothing else. So I think you turn up on the start line and it's either going to go well or it's not going to go well. And I guess it's not. At least my view on it is it's probably not worth stressing about. Like, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Do you think you're obviously going through that race when you decide to split off from that group and try and go that bit faster? Plus, having that those people in front of you, does that make it easier to close those distances? Are you kind of look at them as each little sub goals to kind of get to your main one?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I think so. Yeah, there was a group of probably like 6 or 7 of us until about 20 mile, and then that split up into like 3 of us pretty much the last 10k. And yeah, there's the other groups that were ahead of us. Like, with there were 2 other groups. There was like the world record group, and then a group that was trying to run like 2:03. They were kind of like gone in front of us. Like, you didn't really see them at all, except for the last 5k, a couple of them had blown up and were kind of coming backwards. But I think the last 10k, you're kind of breaking it down like nearly like kilometer by kilometer, just like, all right, like, get to 8k to go, like, get to 7k to go. And then yeah, you see someone blowing up from the group in front and you're like, all right, like, that's another position higher in the finish, like, so there's just little things you're trying to just try and get confidence from.
I hear a lot of people say that in order to be good at running, you kind of almost need to switch off your brain and just run.
Yeah.
Is that not kind of, I suppose, contradictory to kind of having that plan in mind and knowing where you are?
A little bit. Like, it's like, my race on Sunday was definitely like a race of two halves. It was like, get to 20 miles and then race the last 10k. Like, so that first 20 miles I was just shutting off as much as I could. Like, like, there are definitely patches where I felt like, oh, this is kind of hard, but then just be like, yeah, like, forget about it, like, it doesn't matter, like, you know what I mean, like, there's no option to drop back here, just hang on to the group for dear life. Like, if you feel good, like, great, but just don't push, just stay right there. So definitely. And then kind of switches then with 10k to go, be like, all right, like, now what am I doing, like, okay, like, should I push now, like, how are the other lads looking, like, this sort of thing.
Does the visual indicator of the finish line make it more difficult to get there?
Like, I was definitely just, yeah, wishing for it to come. Like, definitely the last 10K, like, there were, you know, get to, like, 5K or something. All right, that's only 15 minutes of running. Like, all right, like, right, 2 miles to go. Like, that's less than 10 minutes. Like, you're just, yeah, just, like, counting it down. And then, yeah, so, yeah, when that finish line comes, you're, like, you're very ready for it.
It's kind of, like, you presumably knew you'd broken the record as soon as you crossed the line.
Yeah.
I know the last time you broke it, you said you went over to a fence and just kind of like, you were just in exhaustion and just kind of like taking it in. Was similar enough, I suppose, this time around?
Yeah, this time around I was like just on the flat of my back for a minute or two, like right after the finish line. I was, yeah, that last mile of the race was definitely like one of the most pain, like probably the most painful mile I've ever run. So yeah, once I crossed the line, it's like, all right, I'm done. Yeah.
When does it sink in for you? Because I know as soon as you finish race, you mentioned being just lying on the ground. Like, it can be difficult to take everything in at that stage because your body is just almost shutting down after just intense effort for that length of distance. Like, when do you suppose click in your mind? Is it that night when you're lying down in bed, or
yeah,
when is it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like kind of when I got back to the hotel after, as I'm just kind of like by myself in the lift, be like, oh, like that was. That was really good. like yeah, that was good. Like, yeah, I think it's funny. Like, you spend like literally like 4 or 5 months training for this like one race, and then yeah, you go through just like 2 hours of like physical and like just like physical exertion and all the emotions and everything. So yeah, it definitely takes a sec, and then yeah, you have like a realization afterwards. But like, oh wow, like. Yeah, that was a really good race.
Yeah. I presume your phone was blowing up as well. Like, not only, like, did you break the record, but you were the fastest European. You finished ninth. Like, that, on its own, even without a record break, that's an unbelievable achievement.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, like, which I'm more proud of or which I'm happier with, like, ninth in the race or 206. I think they're probably pretty... I would have taken either before the race, you know what I mean? Like, I would have taken a 210 and finished ninth or... 206 and finished 15th, but to get both the top 10 and a fast time is definitely, yeah, kind of just ticks all the boxes.
I know you spoke before, the last time we met, your goals were pretty much LA down the line, break out that 208, that's gone now. Like, you know, where does the plans go now? Is it to maintain this, or is it to go even faster, or how do you see it?
Yeah, hopefully faster. Like, 2027 is going to be the year to... when the window will kind of open for qualifying for the Olympics, so we'll kind of find out later this year what the qualifying standards are. So I suppose, yeah, next year the goal will be to get that standard, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully get kind of locked in for the Olympics.
I have a really random question to ask that I've been thinking about for months now, because I saw it on your Instagram and I thought, okay, this will be a funny question whenever I get to interview you again, because I knew you were going to do something. I was going to be like, well, I'll have to get in contact with you. I noticed you had packed a suitcase once for a training camp and I just had a load of runners and then Catan.
Yeah.
I have never played Catan, although I'm one of those people that's like, I feel like I'd really enjoy it. The longest road, this is going to be really stupid now. What's the longest road you've ever built in Catan, and do you think you could run it?
Yeah, longest road's a tough one. Yeah, you kind of have to go all in, I suppose, on going for longest road, but I think I've got it once or twice, maybe like 10 or 12 roads long or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a game we often play when we're like on training camps and stuff like that.
Is it a big thing with runners, or?
I think it is, or at least like the runners I know, especially in America, I think, yeah, Catan's always a big one. Like when I was in college, a lot of us have like online Catan, and we'd be like, because in track races you might not race like 9 or 10 at night, so we just spend all day in the hotel just playing on online Catan.
It definitely lends itself to being a game you can just sit down for hours and just go out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Let's bring it home. I don't even know how to link an extra question in after that. I just wanted to ask that for the sake of my own selfishness. But you're back in Kilkenny now for the next 3 weeks. You know, have you been out to Kilkenny City Harriers? I know you were here last time and they gave you a homecoming for that marathon win. Is there another one they've planned, or are they just kind of like, geez, he's getting too many now?
Yeah, I think there might be something happening during the week next week. But yeah, I met up with like all the lads I run with last night for dinner. So it was nice to... yeah, catch up with them, and hopefully I'll get back doing some jobs with them like next week when I kind of get my legs back under me.
Yeah. Are you feeling a bit more, I suppose, notoriety from this win around than last time?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, I think I definitely got some good reception last year, breaking the record, and this year I think, yeah, definitely better. I think just the fact like it was in London, pretty close to home, and obviously there's a world record in the race as well, so and then I think just it kind of like shows as well the popularity of running in Ireland and kind of around the world, especially like marathons and stuff like that. It's definitely just like on the up and up, so I think, yeah, there's people who like I would have known like from school and stuff who like, you know, wouldn't really have had much interest in running or now kind of taking an interest in it, and that's, it's really good to see.
Absolutely. Well, Peter Lynch, it's been an absolute pleasure. Even better than last time. I hope to come back next year where you've shaved another three minutes off the record. Thank you so much for joining me, and best luck in the future.
Thanks really for having me.